You're listening to Just Women on Brooklyn's Radio.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Samantha Carr, and Jess Contos. I'd like to welcome to the studio Anna Louise Stewart from Chuckle Soaps.
Hello, lovely to meet you.
It is really lovely to have you in the studio with us, and I have to say I can't not smile when saying Chuckle Soaps. It's fantastic. So of course I want to get into all of that with you, which we will. But before we start on that, take me right back. What were you doing beforehand in your career or in your life?
Okay, so for 25 years I worked in the fashion industry.
I left
university, went straight to New York, and through a series of misadventures ended up with this absolutely wonderful job where I worked for Lulu Guinness, the handbag company. Yeah, wow. And I was the head of their sales out there in the US for 5 years. It turns out the guy who was the president, I literally walked in off the street and he was like, "We need someone to answer the phones with an English accent." And I was like, "I can definitely do that."
Hang on. What do you mean you literally walked in off the street?
I walked in off the street. I think I had a friend in the UK and she gave me a bunch of numbers of people in New York who I reached out to. And, you know, I didn't have a visa. I didn't have anything. And this was a number that I'd left my voice on their voice note, just saying, "I'm Anna Louise. I'm in the UK." And I got a call back. Well, my boyfriend at the time got a call back in his office because we didn't actually have a telephone number. And they invited me up. So I went in and I was like, "I can definitely do the UK accent." And he was just like, "You know what? You're much better than our head of sales. So you're going to be head of sales and she's going to be head of PR." And that was it.
I don't believe it. My goodness, but that's so fabulous. I didn't think things like that happened.
I mean, I didn't either. I had no idea. But I ended up with the most wonderful job. And then I came back to the UK after 5 years and I carried on working in fashion. I worked for the relaunch of Bieber, that was a 70s brand that sort of came back, that had Bella Freud designing. And then I worked at Alice Temperley for 10 years doing their sales. And then finally I worked for a fashion tech company. And just before lockdown, I suddenly was like, "I don't think I can do this anymore." We moved out of London. I was down in the countryside. And every day I was getting up and leaving the kids before breakfast and getting back after they were already in bed. And I was like, "I don't want to do this anymore."
So actually, what is fashion tech? What's a fashion tech business?
Oh, a fashion tech company. I mean, it's a really long story, but basically they were doing imagery and they were doing online showrooms for fashion businesses. And my job as a sales director, as a UK sales director, was working with everyone from the people coming out of Central St. Martin's all the way up to Alexander McQueen, Stella McCartney and all that. It was really exciting job, but it was just a lot.
Yeah.
You know, when my kids were 5 and 7 at the time, I was just suddenly like, "I've done this for a long time and actually I want to be with them."
Yeah, I get that.
So I quit and then lockdown happened about a minute later.
Yay! Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, now I understand the drive.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's a part of the drive.
To have two little people at home during lockdown, my kids are much, much, much older.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably a lot easier. I always thought that people with small kids must have had a hard time of it.
Yeah, it was difficult. I mean, one of them was 5 and couldn't read, and the other one was 7 and could but didn't really want to. And I was extremely worried that I was missing out on this education, that both of them really needed fundamental education. And I just didn't really know what to do or how to do it, you know. I mean, I did from my heart. But, you know, after welcoming them every morning with "Good morning, Mrs. Amazing," and doing a roll call of 2, I wasn't sure. And as a dyslexic person, I wasn't entirely sure what I was going to teach them was going to be actually truly what they needed.
So was one of them at school at that point?
The seven-year-old was. And the first one had just started year R for like 2 weeks, or maybe even a week.
Did you get much support from the school? Did they send through staff?
No, and actually that was a little part of what we'll come to in a minute. But it was a state school and we just got a lot of links to BBC Bite Size.
Oh, right.
Yes, that's what my child, he was 12, had the same thing.
And, you know, you had all these conversations about private school and state school.
Yeah.
And the kids that we knew were at private school, they were on Zoom calls every half an hour, continuing their lessons, and we weren't.
Almost immediately as well.
Almost immediately. Yeah. But that also came with pros and cons, because I had friends who had children in both state and primary and private. And one of the children would have to be glued to a television whilst the other kids were outside having
tough.
A wonderful time. So that was complicated as well. And who knows what was beneficial. In the end, I actually enjoyed being with the the children. The weather was lovely, wasn't it, that year? It was pretty good.
So at what point did you decide, right, I've got to do something, and why Chuckle Soaps? Well, did it happen by accident?
It happened completely by accident. There was no massive business plan. But what happened was, by November, we had pretty much done every single thing you can do with a child. You know, we'd coloured in everything, we'd created Lego, everything. We'd done everything. And we literally found a YouTube channel and looked at somebody making soaps. So I picked up the children's toys that were on the floor, discarded, and we put them into a soap. And at the same time, obviously the whole world was saying to the boys, you know, you've got to wash your hands, you've got to wash your hands. And they were like, I don't want to wash my hands. So I put the toys inside the soap, and it was literally like the most extraordinary moment. They were there going, oh, mummy, mummy, can I wash my hands again? And I was like, yes, you can. But the toys, they discarded on the floor. They didn't want those toys to start with. But suddenly, if you put it inside something, it became this thing. So that was...
And you did that from the very beginning, literally picking up the toy and deciding to put that in soap.
Yeah.
That was the first idea. Because this, again, for everybody at home, you can't see, but you will get the internet, your address, sorry.
Yeah.
And so you'll be able to look it up online. But they are fantastic. So you've got love written inside it. You've got little toys. You've got a little Star Wars toy. You've got a little army chap, a little sports car.
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky the boys had such a large amount of stuff on the floor, because right from the get-go, we got interesting stuff in there. But what happened is my brother's an artist. He's always told me it's very easy to build a website. So I sent him photographs, and he just said, look, Annie, you know, you're in sales and marketing. What you need is them properly photographed, and then I'll build your website. And I was like, you know, I've literally just made these on a Wednesday with the kids. Like, I don't have any money to sort of go and get them professionally shot. But I was consulting for a professional fashion consultant, photographer at that time. So he said, look, it's not Lanvin, but I will photograph the soaps for you. So he did. We made a website. And I sent a Facebook message out to my friends. And I was just like, does anyone want to buy these for Christmas? And, you know, by then it was like November. Mm. And 200 people messaged me back going, yes, please. And then about a week later, a lady from the Telegraph messaged me saying, I've just been shared your Facebook post. Please, can we put you in our Christmas gift guide?
How wonderful. So
that's how the business began. It literally began before I begun it, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. But, yeah. You know, sometimes really good things have to happen, don't they, all together to make it work. And that is just... Oh, my goodness, that's serendipity. It's incredible.
It totally is. It absolutely is.
Oh, my goodness. And I know they are vegan. Why is that?
So they're vegan mainly just because I really wanted to use a vegan product. There were three things that I really wanted to use. I really wanted to use organic lavender essential oil. I met very quickly somebody in the soap business who said, I will introduce you to my fragrance people. Everyone uses synthetic and it's much cheaper. And I just thought, that's exactly what I do not want to do. I don't care if everyone does. Like, that's not, if I'm doing a small business that's mine, I want to use organic lavender essential oil. And we literally get it from the farm, almost in a plastic bottle with sellotape on the top. I mean, it literally looks like it's been squeezed by hand. It's beautiful. I wanted it to be, it's from the south of England.
Yeah.
I wanted it to be a vegan product because that's what I believe is a nice thing for everybody's skin. And I wanted it to be SLS free, which is sodium lauryl sulfite, which is the abrasive chemical which makes people with eczema and dry skin. And it's what really reacts to their skin.
Oh.
My eldest son, the 12-year-old, is anaphylactically allergic to over 25 things. And it is a really difficult thing to live with, but that comes with being atopic and having dry skin. And, you know, you just have to be very, very careful with dry skin. And as it turns out, I have people coming and emailing me all the time saying that it's the only soap they can use. And we sell 50% to adults, 50% to children. So it really does.
So do the adults get to pick their own toy as well, or
they
have different designs?
They do. I do different things. So it's funny that with the toys, quite a lot of things are quite kitschy. So people will buy a toy because it amuses, amuses their husband or whoever. But we just started doing like healing crystals and soaps, and we made little windows so you can see what the crystal is with the healing properties around them. We're stocked in anthropology, so we did these soaps with the little words in them, like love, hero, yoga. Yeah, so we do. We have a children's section and we have an adult section, but really the two kind of interweave.
Goodness. And so when, after you got those orders from the Telegraph or via that,
yeah,
how did you upscale? I mean, because at this point it was you.
It was me. So we built a soap studio in our drive, and I basically put a message out on my local Facebook, village Facebook, of, you know, we have, you know, maybe 1,000 people in the village. Does anyone want to join in with me? And two ladies did, and I realized there was no way they could do it in my house. Like, we needed a proper space for it. So I crossed my fingers, used some money that I was given by my great uncle, who had died 15 years before, and I was called up by an American attorney saying they would cover this money, and it was for me, and it was a couple of £1,000, and so that's what we used to build the studio. And I now have 13 people on and off who work for Choco Soap, and they have a space where they can work, and they don't work all the time, but where there's something that we can use a machine to do it, I would rather use a person. Because it's love and care, and because I know what it's like to really need some money and really need some work and want some work. And, you know, every soap is individually wrapped, every label is put on by hand. And I have people, young mothers who are dropping their kids at school. I have ladies in their 70s who are the postmistress who just want to be doing things with their hands. I have kids who come back from university to help, kids who are just finishing off school and want something on the weekends. And so we have them all.
And I was just so excited when I saw your website earlier today, because I was obviously preparing for you coming in. And my background is interior styling and magazines, and I used to do, like, the features for what's hot and what's not kind of thing. And I just thought they're so lovely. They're just fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely amazing. So the soaps that you've got in front of us at the moment, they're quite sort of male orientated. Yes. So you also do girls, some more girly ones as well.
I thought of that as I drove here. And actually, when I first started, because I have sons. An Australian husband and two sons, when I first started, somebody said, "Do you do things for girls?" So yes, I definitely do. I just actually didn't bring any. But, you know, we have pink soaps with unicorns. I do little pearl bracelets and soaps. We have all sorts of, most recently we've just developed a soap on a rope, which is something that actually has been, I think, is going to be huge, because so many adults actually want to have a soap for the shower and not the bath. The little kids having the bath, the grown-ups having the soap on a rope.
Yes.
And we just did a pink pony in a soap on a rope. So yeah, we do lots of little bits.
I also think they remind me a little bit, you know, I've also got sons, and they're a bit grown up now, although they still want them in their stocking. But you know the excavator, like the dinosaur thing, and you have to sort of pick away at it. And that, for me, is sort of the appeal of these soaps, and that's probably why you get them washing the cleanest children in
the world.
Yeah,
100%. People genuinely get really invested, and even the ladies who make for me will come back saying, "Oh, Annalise, I've just got the foot out." Like, you know, they're making hundreds and thousands of these soaps, but it just becomes something that's really exciting, and it also becomes part of your home.
Yes, very sort of stylish. And I think that I love the Scrabble tiles. I mean, I did something not that long ago when I was, again, interior styling, and I remember it was cakes, I think, and they're just so, everybody loves that kind of thing. Also, I read on your website that you do, is it party bags?
Yes, yeah.
Tell us about those.
Having children of my own, we had so many parties that we would be doing ourselves or that we'd go to. And, you know, unfortunately for all of us, you have to have a party bag at the end.
Yes.
And really, these things are full of plastic that are cheap because the parents have already thrown a massive party. But, you know, you kind of have to do this party bag.
Yes.
And for us, all the toys would end up in the stairwell of the car on the way home, be discarded. And it was just a sort of a waste of money. Whereas for us, we do so many different kind of soaps that if you're doing a party that is a football party or a racing car party or a unicorn party or whatever, we can do soaps for everybody. And there's a part of our website where you go on, it's party bags, and it gives you a discount code which makes the soaps wholesale, so then you can go ahead and buy 10 and it'll cost a fraction of the amount.
I remember the competition at the school with the party bags.
Oh god.
Oh my goodness. So I wish you'd been around when I was having to do the party bag. So what's next for Chuckle Soaps?
Well, one thing I really want us to grow is we do a fundraising initiative, which is on our website as well. And basically, we do a lot of Christmas fairs for our stocking fillers, and it's the moment. And we always get invited to lots of schools, and we physically couldn't get to all the schools. And so last year or the year before, I sent a box of 200 soaps to a school, and they ran their own Chuckle Soap stand, and they kept 40% of the profits. And it was absolutely brilliant. So we rolled that out in earnest last year and we reached hundreds of schools. And it was really fantastic because for me, from a salesperson's background, I really felt it was exciting to teach children what it is like to sell. You know, you set up the stand, you merchandise it. I was encouraging them to draw their own posters, to do their own, you know, posters around the school beforehand, maybe a pick a mix, you know, whatever it is to get the sales going. And because they sell so well, it's an exciting thing for the children to do. And then they keep 40% of the profits. And so they actually make money for the school and we get to reach out to people that I wouldn't otherwise be able to reach out to. So that's what I want to grow a bit.
That sounds completely brilliant. What a great idea. Now, how do people find you online?
So I have a website. It's www.chucklesoaps.com. And I'm really dyslexic, so I'm not going to try and spell it, even though it's a very easy one to spell. And our Instagram handle is chuckle_soaps.
Well, Anna Louise, thank you so much for coming on Just Women today.
Thank you for having me.